Turn with us tonight to the Old Testament, book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 17, and then I want to go to Matthew chapter 16. Pray the Lord help us. I don't want to hold you too long tonight. I normally have a watch or a clock. I guess I've developed a bad habit of being a clock watcher from the pulpit, but I believe church and preaching should be enjoyed and not endured. And so, despite all that, I don't have a clock tonight. So, Sister Annie, I've said before, needs to get a sign that says, "Kiss. Keep it short, stupid." Huh? Hold it up. Y'all think she was being romantic. She's just telling me to cut it short. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And verse 29, and David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause? What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Praise the Lord. I believe that there has been a misconception about this scripture. For some reason, we have pictured in our minds that the church is a secluded institution inside of four walls, and that because we are the church, the powers of hell approach from the outside attempting to get in, and we are assured that they're not going to get in. I believe that that is a misconception concerning what Jesus was talking about here, although that is true. Now, don't take me wrong here. But the implication that I've been looking at from this scripture is that the church is a body of believers on the move, moving forward, going forward, amen, and that it is unstoppable. Jesus implies that the church itself is unstoppable. It's invincible. You cannot, there is nothing, no power upon this earth, amen, that is going to stop God's people. He said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so as we go forward, we are guaranteed success in our endeavors for God. Amen. The church itself, most of us, you know, we talk about church. It's more than just four walls. It is more than just a gathering together of people, but it is an assembly of called out people, people that's been called out of the world. And I was reading in the Word of God in the book of Acts, chapter 7, where that, you know, the church was not called the church in this scripture while they were in Egypt, but it was after they came out that the scripture implied and referred to them as the church in the wilderness. And if you're going to be part of the church, it's imperative and it's necessary that you come out from among the world and be separated. Come on here now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the redeemed. It's the believers. The church, a band of common people accomplishing uncommon things for God. A band of ordinary people that have set themselves in array to accomplish extraordinary feats for God. Somebody said that it was a group of unlikely prospects that accepted unlimited opportunity. The body of Christ, the bride of Christ. The church has been called a peculiar treasure. It is a chosen generation, a royal priesthood set apart by regeneration. It is guided. We are elect. Come on here now. We are exalted. In Solomon's words, he referred to them as "this, thy so great a people." Hallelujah. Amen. It's made up of we could say it's a multicultural thing. Amen. Even interracial. Hallelujah. A living, breathing organism given life by the power of a resurrected Savior and driven forward by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Given birth on a windy day, the day of Pentecost. Amen. In the midst of idolatry, slavery, and the oppression in the world. At that time, the Roman Empire ruled the world. In a day when half the population of Rome was slaves. Amen. The common man believed in many gods. The sophisticated man believed in no God. Lust, slavery, debauchery, paganism, heathenism. These were all prevalent in the day in which the church was born, on the day of Pentecost. Amen. And it was just a mere handful of people by the power of the Holy Ghost called the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ that stepped out undaunted and rose to the challenge of that generation. Amen. Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." I'm telling you, before they all died, they had taken the gospel to every nook and cranny, to every courtyard and every kingdom of that day, because they were a people powered by the Holy Ghost that were not ashamed, amen, to stand up and rise to the challenge. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pray for us tonight and help us as much as you can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The church has been known as a classic group of what I call come outers. Amen. Come outers. Hallelujah. Amen. They came out of Egypt. They came out of bondage. They came out of the sick room. Amen. Of spiritual disease that was infested in them by what the Bible calls the mixed multitude. Come on now. Oh, yes. They came out of the 3-day ordeal of Christ's crucifixion. They came out of the upper room undaunted by allegations of drunkenness and with the attitude that said, "You may false accuse me and scandalize my name, but I'm going home with Jesus just the same." They came out of perils of false brethren. They came out of the dark ages. They came out of the infirmary. Amen. Of paganism. Amen. Men like Martin Luther set our feet upon the right path and preached that we are indeed saved by grace and that the just shall live by faith. Men like John Wesley, who taught the reality of living a holy life, a sanctified life. Hallelujah. Amen. We came out of the asylum of false doctrine and delusion. We went down to the river of life, washed our soul with the water of sanctification, cleansed our hearts with the word, cleaned our hands with obedience, poured the eye salve of new vision upon our eyes, anointed our head with fresh oil, and with a shining countenance, clean hands and a pure heart, we lifted our voice for the world to hear, and we said, "It's not over until God says that it's over." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We declared it to the world. And I'm telling you, it is time in this generation for the church to rise to the challenge again. Amen. We have endured. Now stay with me tonight just a little while, and I'll try to hurry. Hallelujah. My advice to any young preacher younger than me, don't ever get fat as I am. Because you hassle and wheeze when you preach. And everybody can hear it in a crowd that's this quiet. Come on here now. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have endured what I call the full court press. Anybody know what full court press is? Huh? Amen. Basketball terminology. Amen. You turn around with a ball, dribbling, and everywhere you look, there's a face. Everywhere you look, there's a hand. Yeah. Amen. It's like harassment all the way down the court. Amen. How many of you know that that's what we face in this generation? Amen. A full court press. Everywhere you turn, there's hindrances. Amen. But we've been challenged by that. And with sobbing, choking spirits, trembling lips and quivering hearts, stuttering tongues, we lift our eyes to the Lord, knowing that only He can bring us through in this generation. We feel the challenge of the times. Amen. We are shocked by some who backslide. We are saddened by others who lose out. But really none of them surprise us, because the Bible said that before that day would come, that there would be a great falling away. We're challenged by the circumstances, the constant barrage, and the attack of the devil. When there's no let up, none. Amen. And there seems to be no recourse. A constant wearing away until God's people have been worn out, used and abused. Amen. And we say, how can we sing the Lord's song anymore? I'm telling you how. Rise to the challenge and let God use you in this generation. Circumstances are things that we cannot change. It seems that we're powerless. You ever felt powerless? Amen. I was praying about a situation last year. A brother in our church had a wreck, and he was on a delivery van, and he was on the job, and he couldn't afford to lose his job. None of us can, but he couldn't afford it. Three kids, his was the only income, and I got to praying about it. Lord, please don't let him lose his job. Please don't let him. He went to sleep. Actually, we were in revival is what it was. And we'd been out late every night. And on his job, somehow or another, hey, man, he went to sleep behind the wheel in that delivery van. Wrecked it, and they fired him. When I got the news that they had fired him, I thought, now, Lord, I'm powerless to do anything about this. I felt so helpless and speechless. And it happened. I forget what else it was. Amen. That came about that day. I mean, it was just like boom, 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 one right after the other. Phone calls. Three different things happened. Two or three different things. And I remember I sent a text message to one of our trustees in the church there. And I said, I have never felt so helpless and so powerless to do anything about something. And I guess he didn't get it. He just texted him, and I could tell I couldn't hear him. He just sent a text message. He said, I'm sorry. And I could tell it just kind of struck him. He didn't know what to do either. Hey, man, those are circumstances. Those are things you can't change. Come on here now. But I want to tell you something, friend. You are not trapped in circumstances. Come on now. You are not trapped in circumstances. You ought to feel challenged by those circumstances. I know it's hard to fathom that and to say, well, you know, I'm just gonna man up and take care of it. Well, sometimes I feel like that the will of God would be that we would feel the challenge. Amen. Enough that we just get down before we get out, just get down and pray through about it. Hallelujah. Oh yes. Because we are not powerless against our circumstances. It's time for people of God, amen, to rise up to the challenge that's been offered to us by the circumstances. Amen. Satan's tried to corral you in. He's marked you for death. Hallelujah. He's marked you for extermination. He's marked you to be taken out. Amen. But he can only go so far, my friend, because he is a limited devil. But we serve an unlimited God. How many of you know that tonight? Amen. It's not a matter. I remember praying one time about some things, and it didn't seem like nothing was happening, and it got real bad. I'm telling you, real bad, Brother Jim. It looked like it was going beyond the point of no return. And Satan jumped up on my shoulder and he said, if you want to beg for your spiritual life, now would be the time. Amen. I remember getting up out of bed and I said, hey, I didn't ask you for my life to start with, and I'm not begging you for my life now. I'm not your servant, nor am I your child. I'm still a child of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I was reading during World War II about the death camps of Is it Auschwitz or whatever the name of it was? Those concentration camps. And you remember, history will tell you, they would send out messages or send out deputies, or laws were made to bring the Jewish people all into one area. They started out by bringing them into one local area. Then they marked them by making them sew onto their garment that they wore where it could be seen, the Star of David, marking them as a Jew. And I heard that in the city around where those death concentration camps were, after they had sent some of those Jews to that camp and had put them in those gas chambers and had incinerated those bodies, that the ash from human flesh floated into the air and would rain down over that city, ashes of their friends, their families, and their loved ones. And so that star became a mark of death for them. I'm telling you, there's been times that you felt like you've been marked for death. It looked like circumstances, things that we could not understand. But I'm telling you, Donnell, do you remember? It's been 15, 18 years ago at Temple one night. The Lord dealt with my heart. And I come over and preached on when God rearranges the circumstances. I don't know if y'all remember that or not. That came to me again today. God is still able. Things that we cannot get our hands on, things that we cannot get a grip on ourselves, God is still able to rearrange those circumstances. Hallelujah. God is still able to rearrange things that you and I cannot control, that you and I cannot understand. Hallelujah. Oh, help me, Jesus. Amen. Feel challenged by it. Amen. It's not a mark of death unless you give up life. Hallelujah. Unless you give up life. Hallelujah. But instead of feeling trapped by your circumstances, you ought to feel challenged and say, I shall not die, but I'm going to live. I'm going to live. I'm going to live. Hallelujah. We're challenged by the times. We're challenged by the circumstances. We're challenged by Satan's attack. Amen. The Bible said that Satan has come down having great wrath because he knows that he has but a short time. Amen. We are challenged not only by these things, but we are challenged by the champion. Now I begin my reading tonight in 1 Samuel, where that Goliath had come out against the armies of God. He was their champion. He was the best that they had. Amen. And it seems like the same is true in this generation, that Satan has launched an attack against us with the best that he has. Amen. Are we not challenged by these things? Are we not challenged by the pressure? You felt the pressure to allow, the pressure to tolerate, the pressure to conform, the pressure to accept, the pressure even to become. I want to tell you something, friend. We went through it a while back. Some issues come up in our church. I'm not ashamed to tell you, come up about women's hair, all right? Amen. And I said, look, you can debate it, you can dispute it, you can talk any way you want to around it, but this is where we stand on the issue right here. Come on here now. Amen. This is where we stand. Amen. You can't feel, amen, you feel the pressure, my friend, of people trying to conform. Oh, yeah, it gets you to become like that. Oh, yes. But I want to tell you, in the darkest hour that the church has ever known, amen, we must rise to those challenges, amen, and realize that we've never lost a battle that we were willing to fight. Hallelujah. We've never lost a battle where we took up arms against Satan. Many have tried to defeat God's people. Come on now. But history bears out the facts. They ain't and they can't. Come on now. That's not grammatically correct, but you get the picture. That's like the one sometimes I'll tell my family. I'll say, now listen, let me quote some scripture. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. I said, I know I'm not Jack, and that's not scripture, but you get the picture. All right. Well, that's not grammatically correct, but you get the scripture. They ain't and they can't. Huh? Because it's not over till God says it's over. You ever heard of Winston Churchill? I love that, Brian. I've told that. Amen. Brian saw this English lady come driving up with the Union Jack on her car. Because he had that English accent. And he worked around her till he couldn't stand it. He said, you ever heard of Winston Churchill? You better believe it, she said. If you Yanks will send the tanks, we'll win the war. You know what he told Roosevelt? You give us the equipment and we'll finish the job. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I believe it was Churchill also that made the statement, this will be our finest hour. Our finest hour. Oh, God. I feel like we're living in the finest hour of the church. I do. The greatest challenge we've ever faced, Brother John. I feel you with me back here, brother. The greatest challenge we've ever faced. Amen. It's the church's finest hour. Because when it's darkest around about us, it's when our light shines the brightest. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Y'all know Brother Ralph Lowry. Anybody know Ralph Lowry? Amen. About three of us. That's Brother Mark Lowry's dad. That's not the comedian Lowry. That's Big Brother Mark Lowry. Tuscaloosa area, I think, is where they're from. Brother Ralph is, if you've ever been around Brother Mark, he's real laid back, real kind of soft-spoken. Amen. And his dad, he was telling me his dad is everything he's not. You ever been around him very little bit? And he said, everything I am, Dad's not. He's real vocal, real outspoken. This guy was preaching at their church one night, and he was nailing hides to the wall. Didn't know a thing. Amen. Let's just give you an example about Brother Ralph. And Brother Ralph said, or this guy was preaching, and I mean, he was getting on it, you know. And he said, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. Brother Ralph jumped to his feet and said, I do. It's that woman right there. Wonder no more, brother. Praise God. I mean, just removed all doubt who the man was talking to. That's the kind of guy Brother Ralph is. Amen. Brother Ralph was really, really going through it. And Mark was just a teenager. And one night they was in Fayette, Alabama. And went to Hardee's. And Brother Ralph was going through really, really dark trial in his life at the time. And they were sitting there, and this group of young people, you could tell they were church young folks, come in and sat down. And they had ordered their food, and Brother Ralph and them were sitting there waiting on their food. And he heard those kids over talking about the Holy Ghost. Was it real? Did it exist? Could we have it? Amen. And Mark said, I was looking across the table and I knowed what Daddy was thinking. And he said, I was sending him signals with everything in me. Don't do it, Dad. Don't do it. He said, but he wasn't receiving that night. Hallelujah. And about that time, their food got delivered. And Mark thought, oh boy, saved by the hamburgers. Amen. So they bowed their head to pray. And as they said amen, Brother Ralph said, excuse me for a minute. And he went over there, walked right out in the middle of all those young people from, amen, you could tell they were church folks. And he said, y'all know that Holy Ghost that y'all talking about? And they said, yes, sir. Real respectful. He said, I've got him. And he proceeded to tell them about the power of the Holy Ghost and got to preaching to them right there in Hardy's dining room and got to shouting and talking in tongues. And when he got done, he said, thank y'all for your respect and your reverence, and went and sat down and enjoyed his cheeseburger. Well, that was on Saturday night. Monday morning, Brother Ralph's headed into the bank, and a lady from the bank said, Ralph, were you in Fayette from Saturday night? He said, yeah. She said, you talked to some young folks? He said, yeah, I did. So they told about a man. Said, we heard about a man that got to talking and a shouting and talking in tongues over there and telling them about the Holy Ghost. You know, he said, guilty as charged. She said, that group of young folks was from the first First Baptist Church of Fayette. And she said, Sunday morning, amen, their pastor walks in and they said, we need to talk. He said, all right, what's up, kids? They said, you've been telling us that Holy Ghost, amen, it's not for us today. Hey, we met a man last night in Hardee's that said it was and had it. And we want to know why we can't have it. He took them in the back room and he finally had to confess, children, if you'll live like he lives, you can have what he has. Come on now. Hey, amen. A lot of folks didn't know it. Brother Ralph had been going through it, my friend. It was a dark hour for him. Amen. But I'm telling you, it shines brightest. That was one of his finest hours, brother. Hey, this could be your finest hour. Praise God. It's time for you to rise up. Rise up. Rise up to the challenge. Woo. Hallelujah. You see, there's a lot of people that's discouraged. Really just down. I'm telling you, I've never seen the beat. Never seen it like this. People just real down. But it's not over. I believe it was Paul in that epistle of Corinthians. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. And I might add, we may be endangered, but we are not extinct. We may have been sifted, but we are saved. Oh, hallelujah to God. Haman couldn't stop them. Herod couldn't stop them. Come on now. Hitler couldn't stop them. Hussein can't stop them. Hamas can't stop them. Woo! Humiliation, hesitation, hellfire, nor heresy. None of them are going to stop this church that you and I are a part of. And there is no need for us to sit down. I'm telling you, the time for the casual approach is over. I said the time for casual Christianity is gone. It's over with. Amen. Oh, God. Amen. You see, there's been a lot of people that's taken the advice that some of them give to blind Bart or blind Bartimaeus. Hey man, just be quiet, son. Just be quiet. Just be quiet. Just be quiet. No, 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 no. Hey man, when Jesus passes by, when I feel the inspiration of the Spirit, I want to rise up to the occasion. Don't you? Come on here, church. I gotta hurry. I don't want to hold you too long tonight. Amen. That little old girl I've told about till it's threadbare. Our church can smile and tell it better than I can. I've told it so many times. Standing up in the car seat, her dad, her mama said, sit down. Her daddy told her, sit down. And, she wouldn't do it. He finally had to spank her, make her sit down. And here she is sitting in the seat. She's a crying. She just sobbing there in the seat, you know. And she managed to get up, get the sobs choked down enough, and get up enough breath. And under her breath, he heard her when she said, I'm still standing up on the inside. I'm telling you, it's time for us to be rebellious against what the devil has tried to do to us. Sit down and be quiet. We'll just see about that. I'm just going to see about it, Brother Sellers. You got to admire Uncle J.L.'s passion. I'm telling you, you got to admire his passion. Man, it reminds me kind of that song. I've been hunting the words to it. If anybody's got it, L.L. Collins wrote them to every time he made up a new one, every time he sang it, they said, I'm going to pray if I pray by myself. I'm going to stand if I have to stand alone. It'll be worth it to make it to glory if everybody else
just don't want to go. I want to go anyway. I feel challenged tonight. It's time for you and I to rise up to the challenge.
Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Phinehas was challenged. I'm hurrying. Amen. Phinehas was challenged in Numbers 25. The prayer meeting was over. Israel was on their face. There was a plague. Thousands of people died. Amen. And all of a sudden, Zimri come through the right through the tabernacle. People of God laying everywhere on the floor praying. God, stop the plague, stop the plague, stop the plague. Here comes Zimri. And Cosby was her name. That Midianitish woman right through the midst of God's people. Stepping over them as they laid in the floor, perhaps. Imagine that. Headed, amen, to commit his fornication with her. Phinehas caught a glimpse of him out of the corner of his eye. And he said, oh boy, prayer meeting is over for me. Javelin in his hand, hot on their trail. Amen. Thrust them both through, both the man and the woman. He was challenged and he rose to the challenge. Come on now. Amen. There was a challenge that was issued to a man by the name of Jehu riding into Jezreel. And he called out, who's on my side? Now, amen, Moses had stood at the door of the camp and said, who's on the Lord's side? Amen, come on now. But Jehu said, who's on my side? You know why? God had already spoke to Jehu what he's supposed to do. Come on now. God's already spoken to some of you some things that you're going to have to do. Amen, who's on my side? Who's on my side? Amen. Two or three guys looked out the window. He said, throw her down. Throw her down. Throw her down. Throw that Jezebel down. Come on here now. Amen. I want to tell you, brother, it has stopped the move of God long enough. It's time somebody rose up, throw down Jezebel, thrust through Zimri and Cosby. Come on now. It's time somebody took some action. Amen. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up to the challenge. Amen. You can be like the four leprous men at the entering into the gate. They said, we can choose to sit here till we die, or we can choose to take our chances with God. They took their chances with God. I'm telling you, we're living in that age of risk-free religion. Pointless Pentecost. And a salvation that doesn't bring a change. We don't want to take the chance because we don't want the challenge. Come on now. We have developed that slimy art of peaceful coexistence. We've learned how to forfeit instead of how to fight. But I'm telling you, it's time for you, my friend, like Gideon, threshing wheat behind the wine press to hide it from, amen, from the enemy. It's time to get out from behind that wine press. I love that story. Angel of the Lord watching him over, and I could just imagine Gideon threshing wheat. And he's mumbling under his breath with fire in his eyes. Looks like somebody do something. Can't even make a crop. Can't get our crops in. Everybody takes it. Just mumbling under his breath. The angel of the Lord spied that man. He said, oh yeah, I believe I've got our man. Come on now. And he walked up and said, hail, thou mighty man of valor. I like to call him Sir Gideon. Because he, to me, was a knight in God's right. Amen. Sir Gideon. He was under the knighthood of God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Sir Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Are you kidding me? I'm a mighty man of valor. I'm the least of my family. Who's the least of my tribe? Who's the least of the tribes? And if God's favoring us, then why in the world is all this happening to me? Come on now. And the angel of the Lord, think with me. Use your imagination here. The angel of the Lord, swelling with pride, and he said, oh yeah, if I can just get that frustration rerouted in the right direction. Come on now. If I can just get that frustration pointed in the right direction, we can do something for God. Y'all still with me tonight? Woo! If I was at home, I'd say, come on, help me. Y'all getting quieter by the minute. Praise God. Hallelujah. If I can get Gideon's frustration turned around and tuned in. Amen. Was it the Midianites again? Amen. Tuned in again against them. Oh, yeah. Amen. What people need to realize is the preacher's not their enemy. The deacon's not their enemy. The brother nor the sister's not their enemy. But we all share one common enemy. Let's go on and realize who he is. Stop being frustrated with one another and get that frustrated routed in the right direction. Amen. Then we can make something for God. Then we can accomplish something for the Lord. Somebody say amen to me. I can't remember which one it was. One of those prize fighters. Amen. Said he went to the ring, won every match. And they said, how do you do that? He said, I look. And he said, I remember when I was a boy that somebody stole my bicycle. I had a brand new bicycle. Who was that? You remember reading that story? And he said, I go to that ring. I never did find that bicycle. Don't know who stole it. But he said, when I walk to the ring and look across the other corner, I see my opponent. And said, in the back of my mind, I say, he's the man that stole my bicycle. Let me give you, did you call him a name? I was wondering if you had a name for that guy. I forget who it was. Let me tell you something. What you need to realize, Brother Tim ain't stole your bicycle. Brother Tony hadn't. Brother Jim, Brother Kyle, we ain't stole your. But you need to look across that ring at the devil. And this ain't grammatically correct again. But you need to go on and realize the devil's the one that done stole your bicycle. That's it, huh? And the air pump. There you go, and the basket and bell too. Praise God. Take it all away. Hallelujah. Ding, ding, ding. Here we come. Oh, yeah. Woo! Amen. I read where the J. Edgar Hoover, the founder of the FBI, I believe it was, said one time, we're at war with communism, and the sooner ever red-blooded American realizes the better off we'll all be. I said like this, we are at war with the devil. And the sooner ever blood-bought child of God realizes that, the better off we all will be. Woo! Hey, we got a common enemy. He's challenged you. He's challenged me. Brother, it's time for us to rise up. Rise up. Rise up to the challenge. Woo! I got to close. I'm coming to close quickly here. Elisha's laying on his deathbed. Backslid king comes to see him. Joash looks at him and he says, oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Oh, God. It's the same words that Elisha had said over Elijah. Now, imagination time again. Elisha said, if you'll help me up, I want to show you something. Whew. I'm going to put my hands on your hands. And I'm going to watch that arrow go. See that arrow fly? There goes the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. I'm telling you, this crowd may be small, but I feel like tonight there's people that's come under the sound of my voice that all you need is for somebody just to put their hands on your hands and say, son, amen, I love your zeal and I love your fire, and God's got his hand on you. Amen, but I want to just help you for a minute here. Let me show you how to fire this arrow and just let it go. Come on now. Just let it go. It's the will of God that the elders teach the younger, ain't it? Come on now. Amen. Be challenged by that. I said be challenged by that. East Laurinburg Church of God, Sister Mary Jane Bowen, come out of Sunday school and the Holy Ghost was a moving in that service. Amen. And there's a whole line of those widow women there. Amen. When I went to her funeral, I sat up her down and sitting on the front row, and it was a church was as wide or wider than this tabernacle. Two rows of pews, and the whole row behind me, Brother Donnell, was a bunch of widow women. Old fashioned church of God. I mean, hair still up, dresses still on. You know what I'm saying. Y'all know where I'm talking about. Amen. And Sister Mary Jane said they come out of meeting, Sunday school meeting, there was a widow woman's class. And they come out and they'd get in there, and if they got to shouting, they might not come out.
out till 11:30, 12 o'clock. Folks are already be headed out the door, and they just getting out of shouting and they're talking in tongues. Amen. But they come out one morning, and the Holy Ghost was a moving in the sanctuary. And old Brother Fields, the pastor, had been there 40-something years when I met him. Amen. He was kind of starchy, good old man, good old holiness preacher. Amen. But he kind of liked to keep the program, you know. And Sister Mary Jane and them were sitting there, and here she is, 60 or 70 years old, and they're whispering. And when she leaned over and said, "He's gonna kill it. He's gonna kill it. I'm telling you, he's gonna kill the service. He's gonna kill it. Somebody needs to do something." And her companion said, "Do something." And she said, "You do something." Here these two old widow women are arguing back and forth under their breath. "He's going to kill it. I'm telling you, he's going to kill it if somebody don't do something. Somebody needs to run or something. Will you get up and run?" And they sat there and talked each other into it, Brian. I kid you not. And old women never go anywhere without their purse. And so here these two old women are getting up on arthritic knees. It's moving slow. But they're going to run around that big old sanctuary. It's probably as big as this tabernacle. Amen. All in one concerted effort to secure a move of God. Woo! Do something. You do something. Let's both do something. My God, help me right here, Lord. Do something. Somebody do something. And so here they go, purse in hand, around that big old sanctuary. Woo, but I'm telling you, somewhere I feel God all over me right now. My Lord, I didn't know I was going to feel like this tonight. Amen. But somewhere around halfway that sanctuary, the power of God fell all over that building. There were young folks that saw a move of God that day that they wouldn't have seen otherwise if two old women had not rose up to the challenge. Come on here now. And so I say to us tonight, somebody do something. Somebody say something. Somebody rise to the challenge. Somebody get up. Somebody rise up. Somebody stand up. Woo! Hallelujah! It's time to move forward. It's time to move out. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm challenging you tonight by the Spirit of the Lord. I guess that's the right way to say it. I'm challenging you to rise to the challenge. God's got his hand on some of you in a special way. You may not even realize that you feel that little pull in a certain direction, like a homing pigeon feels a pull towards home. God's got his hand on you. You may be the one that can rise up and stop the plague. Oh, God. I told our church a while back, I went to the pulpit on Sunday morning. I was burning down, Brother Jim. And I didn't call any names, but I told them, I said, we're blessed here. We have, I guess, some young couples. Not that many young married couples. But I began to look around over our country at young married couples. And I saw this one split up, that one go bad. Hey, it ain't no secret, but I'm not going to call names. This one go bad. Four that I can think of right off the top of my head that God has used them mightily. And the devil set out to destroy them. And he don't care, Brother Sellers, how he does it. And I begin to look at others, Brother Jim, that are sitting ducks in the devil's shooting gallery. And I went to our church and I said, "Look, we don't have it among us, but it's only by God's grace that it hadn't come to our church. It's only by God's grace that it hadn't touched our immediate family." And I felt challenged. I said, "I want us to stand," and we had special prayer. Something has got to be done, brother. And that's not an isolated incident. And it's not just young married couples that are splitting up. But I'm telling you, there's a tolerance among our young people for things of this world
Brother, it has offered a challenge to the ministry. You say, are you saying we don't know what to do? I'm telling you, things have got so bad among some of our people until we're almost to the place we don't know what else to do. Are you admitting defeat? Never. Never in this life. But I'm telling you, I feel challenged by these times. As Brother Randy Webb would say, hit the old pulpit a-blazing. Hit it a-blazing. I want to tell you young folks here tonight, you older folks too, every age group, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. There's deeper things in God. I want to challenge you because I know that there's a path we can walk that is right. It is holy. And it will secure your trip to heaven. I said it will secure your trip to heaven. But you got to stay on that path. You say it's hard. No, 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 no. It's not hard. It's a challenge. You say, I'm trapped in these circumstances. You're not trapped. You're challenged. How do you think about it? You're challenged. I quoted Churchill a while ago. Let me tell you this. When he went to Parliament and he told them about what all was wrong, all the things that were bad with their nation. They were on the brink of famine. 40% of their airplanes were down. Their fleet was in bad need of repair. They didn't have resources. He backed up from the podium and he said, I find it rather inspiring. And I thought, my God, how do I find this generation? I find it rather challenging. I find it rather inspiring. Brother, there's a fire that's burning deep down inside of you. I'm about to call us in this altar. Is that okay? Is that all right, brother? There's a fire that's burning deep down inside of you. You may have it covered up. Nobody can see. But inside of you, there's a fire that's burning for what's right and for what is real. Are you hearing me tonight? Not just what is right only, but for something that is real. You've tasted enough of it to know. And I challenge you tonight by the power of the Holy Ghost to rise up to the challenge of this generation and be a powerhouse for God. Move forward. Move out. And make a difference. Could we stand tonight all over this building? Those of you that are not standing, would you stand with us? I'm asking you here. Arise to the challenge. Nehemiah rose up. Rebuilt the walls. The men of Israel rose up and rebuilt the temple. It's time for you to rise up and let's rebuild the pillars of Pentecost. One standard, one conviction, one service at a time. But let's make progress. What about it tonight? Could I just give a general altar call? I will stop just for a moment here and just give a general altar call and say, all right. You feel the challenge. You feel the challenge. Let's come tonight. He said, Brother Tony, I don't quite feel what you're talking about. Look around you, my friend. Look around at this generation. Look around at the rash of backsliding, the plague of worldliness. Oh, God, there is a call. There is a challenge. Come on tonight. Rise to the challenge. Rise to the occasion. Rise to the occasion. Oh, God, help us. Come on, saints of God. Satan has challenged you and he's expected you to back down. He's expected you to back down. Oh, God. Lord, help us to rise to this challenge.